shall then proceed to our next speakers in this particular case. Al Schlachtmeier needs relatively little introduction to these audiences because he's been a member of ARSC since 1967. In addition to being a classical music enthusiast, he's devoted his career to management consulting in the private sector. He was also a former staff announcer for a Chicago FM station. He started the ARSC Classical Music Grants Program and is active in the Washington, D.C. International Volunteer Service. He's also a member of ARSC's membership committee. Joining him for this presentation is Seokmin Seo, who is Multimedia Information Officer in the News and Media Division of the Department of Public Information at the United Nations in New York City. And they will discuss an interesting group of UN recordings. Would you welcome, please, Al Schlachtmeier and Seokmin Seo.
You just listened to the very first United Nations concert and held in 1949 on Human Rights Day, which is December 10th. It happened at Carnegie Hall by Boston Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Bernstein. So the United Nations have a concert tradition started in 1949. It's mainly two concerts. One is Human Rights Day concert, and the other one is UN Day concert, which is the 24th of October. So every year there are two concerts happening, sponsored by member states, the country. They usually bring their own orchestra. It happens in New York City, UN headquarters. It was before, this particular concert was 1949. That was before UN headquarters were built. So there was a tradition to announce the goals of the United Nations. And then the other concert happening is the what we call ad hoc concert. There's something some unique occasion happens, then they sponsor a concert at the UN. So I'm going to play the second piece.
That was obviously Yehudi Menuhin doing the Bach Chaconne, a piece of it. This is just typical of what's in this UN archive collection. It's just a fabulous treasure. The idea here was that you attain or you influence harmony in the world through what music can bring. And it was followed through for these years. The first excerpt you heard there, and saw a photograph related to, was, yes, it was the Boston Symphony in that first concert in 1949, conducted by Leonard Bernstein, and to save you from asking, it's the Collegiate Chorale, probably Robert Shaw, but I don't know, because I didn't research that. But the soloists were Emma Gonzalez, Elena Nicolaidi, Raoul Jobin, and Niccolo Moscona. This Menuhin excerpt is a wonderful recording, but the other one that's in there is equally fabulous. It's Oistrakh, David Oistrakh, and Menuhin doing the Bach concerto for two violins, which is also part of that archive. How did I get involved in this? When I was a young collector of classical music, I stumbled on a group of tapes, 10-inch studio tapes, and bought them from someone I don't remember. It's too long ago. But there was a big pile of them. And in the middle of that collection, there was a recording of a Sibelius cantata, whose name I can't remember either. And at the end of it, there was the Finlandia. It was played by the Symphony of the Air, conducted by Leopold Stokowski. Okay? I had never heard of that recording. I had never heard anything like it before. I didn't particularly care for it, so I kind of traded it off for some other stuff, right? We all did that. All us collectors did at that time. I'm sorry I did that, because it probably is even more rare than the other one that we talked about. Flash forward. 40 years later, I attended the Ars Convention in New Orleans, and Gary Gallo and some of his friends showed and demonstrated the recording by a Turkish composer named Saygun, conducted also by those same forces, the Symphony of the Air and Leopold Stokowski. This was Saygun's Yunus Emre, a non-denominational cantata performed at the UN in, I believe, 1958. And you wrote that up in the Ars Journal for 2010, as I recall. And I got to thinking. I had that recording of that Sibelius cantata here was a Saigon work that I didn't know anything about. There's got to be more stuff there. So about that time, I contacted the United Nations and said, I'd like to pursue something here. Is there such an archive? And after about a year of trying to find the right contact within the United Nations and going back and forth, I got an email from the gentleman to my right here who said, yes, there was such an archive in their vaults. And I said, what about the condition of it? And is it deteriorating? He said, well, yes, it is kind of deteriorating or under threat. So we worked for some months on a plan to get the inventorying and the organization work done to document these live concert tapes from 1949 to about 1981 that were in the vaults at the United Nations in New York City. Relatively unknown. Yes, some of the pieces of that archive have slipped into the underground, but most of it, much of it, is not available, has not been heard or seen since. So we worked together, and about a year later, preservation and the digitization had been completed. A collection of about 36 concerts in all, about 600 reels of 10-inch tape, been digitized and preserved in hard drive media, which is where they reside today. George Blood did the technical work on it. In the short time available this morning, we'll share a handful, bleeding chunks, if you will, of some of these concerts. All we can do, and we'll have some questions and answers on it. The photos, which don't always sync up to the actual performances on the soundtrack, in case you didn't notice that, are from the UN archives. So try that. But keep in mind, you are hearing raw, unprocessed, uncorrected transfers, no manipulation involved there, directly off the tapes, heard here in many cases, or a couple of cases at least, the only place they've been heard since the live event. So let's try the next one. Lynch did that extraordinarily well, and there's a couple of underground performances of his available of this concert, as I'm sure many of you know, but he never recorded it commercially, as I recall. Is that your memory as well?
He made a pre-recorded tape.
He did?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Good. All right, let's, one of the, there in this collection, there's also a performance of the last movement part of it at least, of the Beethoven Ninth, the Ode to Joy, which is sort of the United Nations theme song. It's been performed, I don't know how many times at the UN, but so many different ensembles. There's a Münch Symphony of the Air, the performance of that, of that last piece of it in the collection. Speaking of which, we'll try the next thing, which is the Beethoven Ninth, Ode to Joy. This is Metropolis in the New York Philharmonic. Metropolis never recorded that. There's never been a performance available to it. Unfortunately, we don't have the whole symphony, but we do have this excerpt, at least, or this expanded excerpt. Schola Cantorum, Hildegarden, Elena Nicolaide again, Richard Tucker, and Otto Edelmann, Beethoven Ninth. All for now. Unfortunately, it's too bad we don't have the whole thing. At the other end of the spectrum, there were quite a number of vocal soloists, Joan Sutherland, Luciano Pavarotti, and in this case, Robert Merrill, doing one of his signature encore pieces and hamming it up at the same time. The accompanist is Marion Merrill, his sister, if I recall. So this is Largo al Factotum, excerpt, Robert Merrill.
La la factorum del citala ricco. La 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 la. Presto me teke gal pacia presto. La 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 la. Oh, che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere per un barbiere di qualità, di qualità. Oh, bravo Figaro, bravo, bravissimo, bravo! La 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 la! Fortunatissimo per verità, bravo! La 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 la! Fortunatissimo per verità! Fortunatissimo per verità! La 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 la! Pronto fa tutta la notte e il giorno, santi di torno e di rosta, e mi cucani per un barbiere, vita per nobile non si dà. Rasa di pettine, dati di forbici, a mi comando tutto questo. Loggi di forbici, dati di pettine, a mi comando tutto questo. Fella la risorsa poi del mestiere e con la donnetta e col cavaliere e con la donnetta e col cavaliere e la 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 la. Oh, che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere.
Enthusiasm counts, doesn't it?
They have the translators working.
They should have had something working that wasn't quite there. All right, at the other end of that spectrum, what you had here were the stars of the 1950s and 60s coming in for these concerts. Stars like Robert Marilyn. We also have a wonderful document of, some of you probably have heard it, the Beethoven Violin Concerto, indeed, by Heifetz and Paré and the Detroit Symphony. It was used as a premium by the Detroit Symphony for a while. They wrenched it out of the archive there and used it to raise some funds. We'll hear just a little bit of it from the second movement. Heifetz, Paré, the Detroit Symphony, the Beethoven Violin Concerto. That was from 1959, and I think that may have been the last time he performed that concerto, in public at least. Speaking of stringed instruments, one string player who was closely associated with the United Nations was Pablo Casals, and he did a lot of work there, a lot of appearances, relatively, comparatively speaking. And I think you'll enjoy this. This is a piece of history, and it's one of those that probably doesn't leave many dry eyes in the audience. Pablo Casals.
I haven't played in public for nearly 40 years. I have to play today a short piece of the Catalonian folklore. This piece is called The Song of the Birds.
We'll end on a different note. By the way, all these photographs that you see are from the UN archives. There is also some video associated with some of these, not all, sometimes just little pieces of video. We'll end with the, oh, by the way, that was 1971, Casals. We'll end with the National Symphony Orchestra of Washington, D.C., under the direction of Antal Durati, with the Lazar Berman as soloist, doing we'll hear a chunk of the Tchaikovsky piano concerto. On the same program, Marian Anderson appeared doing the Lincoln portrait with the orchestra. This is the finale of the, part of the finale of the Tchaikovsky concerto, Lazar Berman, Durati National Symphony. Questions, comments to me, to Sakmin?
Where can these be heard?
We're trying to make a website for people to listen to. We haven't have time and money to create a website yet, so this is our one of the projects we are trying to achieve this year or early next year.
Have any of these, or is there any anticipation of releasing any of these on CDs as fundraisers for UNESCO or any other UN agency?
Yeah, we had a few talks with the commercial companies, but you know, as you know, this is copyrighted by the orchestra, and it's a long-term process, so We are in touch with some companies, and we'll see what we can do. But at this point, nothing has been decided.
You're working on it.
Yeah.
Blue shirt there.
Yeah. What do you know about the technical specifics of how the recordings were made? Were any made in stereo? Was the same line used for a broadcast, for a live broadcast, perhaps at the same time?
Well, there's... This is, you're looking at half a century of recording technology being applied at different times in different ways and by different people, because there was turnover and all of that during that period. So there's no one easy answer to that. But yes, some of them were in stereo, many of them are in mono, and it's kind of a mixed bag, I guess.
Can you see the mics in the
pictures? Yeah, yeah, cases, yeah.
Yes, hanging in the Great Hall.
I believe that the technicians were brought in to set up the concert hall. As you know, this concert hall is not really a concert hall. It's a meeting place, so it's not really designed to have a concert hall. But we had technicians. I believe they had a different technology. So some are actually really good quality because they were broadcast live at the time in the 50s by radio. So we have recordings of a radio commentator commenting the pieces played.
In some cases, they were broadcast worldwide. There might be a pickup in New York to begin with, then we switched to Paris, we switched to Geneva, and there were different performing groups put together into a concert that was broadcast, in many cases, worldwide.
Yeah, I believe one concert I remember was New York started concert and it finished, and then Paris took over, so had the two geographical locations had a concert at the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That
thank
was
you.
Like his last appearance on radio in the sense of with an orchestra. And Metropolis did do a complete Beethoven ninth on April 17th, 1955, CBS Sunday afternoon broadcast.
Mm, thank you. I didn't know that. Good.
I should know. I've been working with the Philharmonic.
You would know. George?
Is there more?
Is there more what?
We have 600 tapes with these guys, so.
Not anymore today. I know.
Well, I brought some copies of the list of concerts the UN has. And anyone interested, I can give you copies of it.
Yeah, we have hard copy of that for those of you who are interested. Brad?
Yeah, one other source for some of these recordings is Voice of America. VOA recorded some of these concerts at the UN, and those are in the Voice of America collection at the Library of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Other questions? Yeah. Anyone else?
Is there anything missing from the archive? For instance, are there concerts that happen that you don't have a report for that you should?
I need to double check, but I believe we have most of it. But the recent copies, for example, we recorded, but we destroyed it because the organizer wanted to have their own copies, and then they hold it, but the UN doesn't have it. So most concerts, they are sponsored by a country. So it's a UN concert, but they owns all the rights. So the most recent concerts with the United Nations don't have that.
That's important.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned two UN quote concerts, the Saigon and this Sibelius tape that I once had in my hot little hands. Neither of those is anywhere. I mean, it's not in this archive, neither one. Reason is they were sponsored by the countries, by the missions to the United Nations, paid for, organized using UN facilities. They own them. They took the tapes. So they're not in the UN archive. So there may be lots of other things around from that UN era that we have not yet uncovered.
Yeah, just give you an example. Like a couple of years ago, Beyonce had a concert at the UN. And then there was a huge production, and then they controlled all of it, so we didn't even have the copy of the concert.
And the symphony orchestra at that time was for her?
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Brooklyn, yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, as someone who listens to a lot of string recordings, there were some fascinating documents there. Obviously, by that time in his career, Casals had followed Hindemith's advice, Ton Schönheit ist nebensächlich. Beauty of sound is beside the point. And Heifetz made a couple of little errors in that Beethoven excerpt, proving once again that Heifetz was really good, but he wasn't perfect.